Life in the city has its share of strange and dangerous things. But at least in more populous areas, there is the expectation of the unusual, and a tolerance of the unorthodox. And acts of aggression or sedition are met with swift resolve in the strange find good company. But the city is not the province of the truly bizarre. The weirdest things brew where people have room to roam, under the cover of solitude, into the nooks and crannies that are tucked down too deeply into the landscape, into areas too secluded for the light of day to shine, or the influence of social norm to affect, or the long arm of the law to reach. This is a place where the expectation of consequence and the fear of retribution are unknown. This is where the schemers hide, the occultists practice, and the psychotic take refuge. This is where the overly curious do weird things, and the eccentric know no bounds. This is where the drifters wind up, where the addicts squat in abandoned land, or in silos, or even underground in hidden bunkers. This is where things that are oftentimes too bizarre or repulsive to believe can and do take place. Prepare your mind and join me in a journey into those hidden away places I like to call the Devil's Playground. Gelatophobia, Part 10. I dug deep to hatch a plan. This was going to have to be carefully crafted, no two ways about that. I sat in my meditation chair. My meditation chair was a mid-century reclining couch that was worth about $3,000. It was like a reclining chair and a hammock rolled up into one. The leather upholstery was buttery smooth and the stitching was exquisite, the kind of stitching that made you want to run your fingers along it every time you saw it. I liked to sit down and rock back as my body weight was cradled in the elaborate mechanism that gave me a feeling of utter weightlessness. Pearson liked to go outside when the sprinklers went off in his lawn. That was at about 4:45 in the morning, give or take. I would watch his every move all day, making notes. That kid who was supposed to deliver my mail inside my garage, Jesse, was going to stop by around 5 p.m. I had all day to practice what I was going to say to him. I had to pounce on the mouse without giving him any room to escape. It was going to be a delicate but firm procedure. 5 p.m. rolled around in no time as I was embroiled in thought about my plan. The garage door opened. I was waiting for him in the dark.
Oh, hi, Mr. Kimball. I was just...
Jesse, come here. The boy walked toward me reluctantly. I sat him down. I explained the situation to the extent that I needed Pearson's key because I thought he was growing pot in his garage, and I needed to verify my fears before I called in the DEA. The boy's eyes got huge.
I don't think he was growing pot in there, Mr. Campbell.
Don't talk back to me, boy. I saw you puffing the magic dragon here in front of my house just last week. I got a picture.
What? Oh, shit!
I produced the photo on my phone for him to see. I think you're protecting him, but I'll tell you what. You give me the key and I won't send this photo to your parents. Deal? Now, I've never seen a quicker acquiescence in my entire life. I couldn't have executed it better if it were scripted. Wait just a minute. It was. He scrambled to unhook the key from his key ring and handed it over like his life depended on it. Thank you, Jesse, I said as I slapped him a 10 spot. Here's a little bonus for your trouble. Don't sweat it, boy. I just wanted the key. Now, I am no prude,
Hell, I drink like a fish, and I've got no problem with somebody hitting a bong for recreation or eating some hash brownies for their arthritic knee. But I had to scare the boy into submission, and it worked. Now I had access. Now I could get into Pearson's home.
Visit us directly online at thedevilsplaygroundshow.com.
Subscribe to the Devil's Playground podcast to stay tuned at anchor.fm/thedevilsplayground. And visit our merchandise store at tinyurl.com/thedevilsplaygroundstore.
You've been listening to The Devil's Playground.